This week, Falmouth Bid challenged the Prime Minister to support a five-point plan to revitalise Britain's high streets. The plan, sent to the Prime Minister and a large number of other influencers nationally and locally, makes five key points about car parking, transport, strategic town management, local retention of business rates, and a halving in VAT for retail, restaurants, hotels and tourism businesses. It also invites the Prime Minister to visit Falmouth and to bring with him Mary Portas, TV's Queen of Shops, who's looking at this issue on behalf of the government. I met the chairman of the bid, Nigel Carpenter, proprietor of the four-star St Michael's Hotel in the town, and bid manager Richard Wilcox yesterday afternoon on the terrace at St Michael's. I began by asking Nigel Carpenter what had prompted the approach to the PM.
Well, I think we read widely about David Cameron appointing Mary Portas as a retail guru in terms of how to save our high street. And our high street is extremely important in Falmouth, both to residents and to visitors alike. And there's an awful lot that can be done to improve the conditions for the high street to succeed. We've made a lot of valuable steps and a lot of initiatives in Falmouth, and we've got a wonderful collection of independent traders who sit alongside national brands. But if the high street is to survive and prosper long term, it needs a more proactive and kinder government and legislative environment to help it succeed. And so Mary Portas being appointed, we thought we'd got some lessons learned from Falmouth and some suggestions and ideas for the future.
The plan, which is 5 points, actually seems to fall into two separate phases. The first being getting people into the town centre, and to that end looking at more effective and more cost-effective car parking in the right places, properly signed, and also better transport systems. And then once we've got them there, actually encouraging them to shop by having the right mix of shops, by having the right investment in the town centre and the right management of the whole process. Can we start with getting people in, getting the footfall into the town? And in particular, some fairly harsh words that you had for the policy currently on car park charges and the way in which that discourages people.
If we're to encourage people into the high street, we have to make it easy for them to get there. We've seen huge growth in supermarkets and out-of-town retailing with easy, widely available parking. And if people are to use the high streets, we have to welcome them in the same way, which means good signposting, easy to use parking, and payment systems that mean that shoppers don't have to rush back to their car to worry about whether they've been clamped or received a ticket for spending too long in our stores. And that's something we really need to solve, because at the moment a lot of car parking is seen as a taxation, as a revenue stream for the council. And we need to look at it more in the round. We need to grow the local economy. We need to build businesses. And car parking should be very much part of a joined-up strategy for achieving that, rather than just being simply a single revenue point for subsidising council income. And it's that joined-up thinking that we really want to encourage and achieve, and that's why it's a five-point plan to look at the whole issue in the round.
And on the transport side, it seems to me that you want a demand-led public-private approach to transport as well, transport where people need it and when they need it.
Absolutely, and at the moment I see buses driving past empty. We don't see any consultation and again joined up thinking in terms of what the customer needs, what the customer is prepared to pay for, what times the customer wants transport, and we don't have any initiatives to encourage creative thinking and involvement from the private sector, which could be a lot more cost effective to local government than some of the subsidised transport services.
Once we've got people into the town, assuming that those first two points can be addressed and addressed successfully, the mix of businesses there, you're right to say we've got some very good independent retailers in the centre of Falmouth. I'm sure they exist in other town centres around the country as well. But there do seem to be, and the report that I was reading earlier in the week seems to suggest the truth of this, that there are an awful lot of coffee shops, cafes, building societies, banks, all essential bits of retail property, but maybe not necessarily the mix of retail. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I think our central point is that towns and high streets need to be run like proper businesses. Like if we were creating a new out-of-town shopping centre, we would think about what customers we were targeting, what sort of retail offer, at what sort of price point, what sort of supporting facilities we would want to provide, from toilets, rest, entertainment, and consider the whole mix. And that has to be the starting point. In Falmouth, we've got a long, characterful high street, and unless we're to cut down on retail, which we don't want to do, we need to ensure that we've got the right mix of shops that are servicing the customers' needs. And we need a proactive policy and management plan in place that encourages the right entrepreneurs, the right specialist retailers to fill the vacant stores.
So once again, we're talking about joining up a process of both marketing a town as a place for retailers to come, and then making sure that the services that are there for the retailers are made available at the right place, at the right time, and of course at the right cost.
That's absolutely right, Andy. Joined up thinking runs throughout our letter to Mr. Cameron, and is central to our approach. The old high street, when it just existed on its own and didn't have the out-of-town competition, was in a monopoly situation. But now we've got the internet, we've got supermarkets, we've got out-of-town retail, and if we're serious about maintaining the high street, as I believe we should be, particularly in a characterful, well-visited town like Falmouth, we do need that considered approach and joined-up thinking. To answer your original point about cafes and restaurants, it is very much looking at where the customer demand is, and we have a lot of tourists, a lot of visitors, a lot of people from other parts of Cornwall coming into Falmouth who enjoy a meal or a drink as part of their visitor experience. Only supply and demand and well-informed planning can decide whether we've got too much or too little.
So it's about planning the town centre properly, and that of course brings us to the usually fairly difficult point of money. And there are two points about money in the letter, as we get blown about on the terrace here a little. First and foremost, it's about business rates. Now, as I understand it, there are two issues with business rates. One, they seem to be going up considerably, and secondly, they don't appear to be applied where they're taken. Are those the main points you're making, that there needs to be more visibility about what is being charged for and how it's being charged?
Absolutely. First of all, we would like to see a strong linkage between what we pay and what we get. And I think one of the things that has made BID successful is that we are extremely accountable to our members, to the 400 businesses who voted to facilitate a BID. And we see that the rate system should be the same way. You know, we're talking about millions of pounds going from businesses up to Westminster, and then funds being doled out to councils who aren't fully consulting businesses on their needs and priorities, and that linkage needs to change. In terms of the actual cost of business rates, they've gone up again this year. There's an inexorable rise as councils get hard pushed and want to maintain their income to put more increases through on the rates. But this is a tax for success. In my own example at St. Michael's Hotel and Spa, our rates have just gone up 60%, which is over £20,000 for the same footprint size of hotel. And it's simply because we've invested in the hotel, £4.5 million, we've gone up to 4-star, and so we're being penalised for making that investment. It just doesn't seem fair, and it doesn't seem fair to our traders in the high street either.
One other point that you make in your five-point plan is about VAT and the rate of VAT. Given that the Chancellor, with the Prime Minister's full approval, moved VAT up from 17.5% to 20% fairly recently, to halve VAT for tourist-based businesses, for restaurants, hotels, and retail, would probably give him a problem. Is there a business case that you can help him with when he talks to George Osborne?
I certainly think there is, and the first thing is British competitiveness. We've seen European countries in the last couple of years realise the true value of tourism, and that is that every pound spent on tourism itself, there's an extra £3 spent on goods and services. So tourism is a real driver of economic recovery. The tourism businesses need goods and services supplied by fishermen, farmers, graphic designers and builders. And if Britain is to remain competitive, we need to consider reducing our rate of VAT down from 20%, the highest in Europe for tourism-related charges, down to something more respectable, like 9% in Germany, the 5% in France. Our Irish friends have just reduced their VAT rate down from 13% to 9%. So there are some important points. One is international competitiveness, and second is the economic value and business driver effect that tourism can bring to the economy. And with the Olympics coming next year, it's ever more important that Britain, and indeed Cornwall and Falmouth, are seen as competitive destinations that offer great value for money, and not with every £1 that the tourist spends, every £5 that the tourist spends, £1 going into the government coffers doesn't seem a very good deal for our visitors.
Now, I've seen so far quite a lot of good press locally for this, including the Western Morning News, who supported your ideas in an editorial the day after the letter was published. What's the response been from further afield, maybe from the Prime Minister's office or from the MPs who represent Cornwall and Westminster, and in particular maybe our own local MP, Sarah Newton?
Well, we've already had, as you say, positive reaction from the local media. The Western Morning News got behind our five-point campaign in their editorial. We're meeting with Sarah Newton, the local MP for Falmouth, tomorrow to discuss what action we can take, and she's very keen to be involved. We've had proposal of a meeting from Cornwall Council, and really it's starting to snowball. And you know, the measures we've proposed really just make basic common sense, and it doesn't need a PhD to really think through whether these 5 points are good ideas. And that's why I think we're getting such universal support. The key is now to make something happen from it, and that's going to be a lot more challenging.
And what is, if businesses who are listening to this now feel strongly that they support the ideas you're putting forward, how can they get involved? How can they get behind the campaign?
what we want businesses to do is to contact their local MP, to contact their local councillor, both from a town council and from a Cornwall council perspective. Write, ring, email. This campaign has got to gather momentum if we're to bring about change. So I'd urge every business to get involved and support the Falmouth Bid Initiative to bring more business to our high street and ensure that it's prosperous in the long term.
And if I can turn to Richard Wilcox now. While all this is going on at a governmental and county level, presumably the bid locally doesn't stand still. What's happening locally to actually keep the momentum going and to build what momentum you can as the plan is discussed?
You're absolutely right, Andy. Bid is certainly not standing still at the local level on this issue. Just picking up on Nigel's point, there's a real groundswell of opinion in the High Street at numerous traders' meetings that I've presented and updated at in recent weeks. These are the key issues that have come back to us, and we're really taking those points on board. We're involving and informing the local businesses as to our progress on a regional and national level. I'll be presenting at next week's traders' meetings with our updates as to what we're doing in terms of this campaign. We've sent out numerous emails and communiques with the local businesses who are starting to get in touch with us. They're starting to feedback their thoughts and opinions and comments either via our Facebook discussions page or directly into me. So there is, as I said, we're utilising that groundswell of opinion. And as Nigel said, we want that snowball to get ever larger.
We'll be returning to this issue next week on the show, and we want your questions and views about that. Please email source.business.breakfast@gmail.com.